That was difficult 5 years back, but today, because of more exposure, we can get people to think they can transform their skills that their fathers had, and thereby hold on to them. I interviewed Deepak Ganguly, a slender 28-year-old computer artist who was then working at Jadu Works. My parents are artists, and my mother is a sculptor at home, he explained. My father was a carpet designer. He made designs for Indian carpets. I had a knack for drawing, because I was brought up in this kind of climate, so I came into this field. When I started this animation career at the time, 3D computers for drawing were not here in India, so I did a course in 2D classical animation, and I was a 2D animator. When this 3D boom happened in India in the past couple years, I decided to jump. I was working at a small studio in Delhi. We used to watch movies and Star Wars and their computer-generated things. Then I got the chance to learn that skill. Globalization, said Ganguly, was enabling him to take his skills and now sell them all over the world. With all the easy sharing in the electronic media, he said, we can get the work here easier and we can send our skills over there easier. To listen to some of the critics, though, you would think that globalization was only about the spread of crass capitalism, global brands, fast food, and consumer values, all crowding out warm, cozy, thriving local communities, industries, and cultures. There is no question that the forces of globalization do some or all of these things in many places, on many days. But globalization is not simply about the spread of capitalism or markets or enhanced trade. It is not an exclusively economic phenomenon, and its impact is not exclusively economic. It is a much broader, deeper, and more complex phenomenon involving new forms of communication and innovation. The flattening of the world is about the creation of a global platform for multiple forms of sharing work, knowledge, and entertainment. Worrying about the pulverizing effects of globalization is very legitimate, indeed very important, but ignoring its ability to also empower individuals and enrich our cultural cornucopia is to miss its potentially positive effects on human freedom and culture. My point here is not that the flattening of the world will always enrich and preserve culture. My point is that it doesn't always destroy culture either, which is the message you hear if you listen only to the globalization critics. The iron law of globalization is very simple. If you think it is all good, or if you think it is all bad, you don't get it. Globalization has empowering and disempowering, homogenizing and particularizing, democratizing and authoritarian tendencies all built into it. It is about the global market, but it is also about the internet and Google. One should have no doubt, I certainly don't, that the flat world empowers the forces of darkness as well as the forces of light. You can upload homemade pornography, homegrown racism, lies, conspiracy theories, and just plain hokum, and spread them easier, faster, and farther on the flat world platform as well. The New York Times, on December 19, 2005, ran a chilling front-page story about a teenage boy, Justin Berry, who was drawn into performing in front of a webcam, undressing, showering, masturbating, and even having sex for an audience of more than 1,500 people who paid him, over the years, hundreds of thousands of dollars. What is really ironic is that they often paid him by using PayPal.com, the online payment system owned by eBay to make it easy for individuals to buy and sell on its auction site. For all these reasons, our job is not to trash this platform, but to get the best out of it and to prevent the worst. The kind of globalization we are talking about now, with the internet and the flattening of the world, is a different kind of globalization than the one that is in the minds of the people who have been criticizing globalization, remarked Israeli political theorist Yaron Israhi. It has different opportunities and dangers. In cultural terms, the globalization of the local is allowing a local group of human rights supporters to become part of an international community and feel that solidarity, and the same with environmentalists. And the same, unfortunately, is true with neo-Nazis and Al-Qaeda sympathizers. Wherever human beings have the freedom to create communities, they can create progressive or criminal ones. But the fact is that the internet has magnified the capacity of individuals to generate their own stories and inscribe themselves on the world both as individuals and part of communities. Should we be against that? Of course not.
As of the printing of this book, Google was available in 116 different languages, from Arabic to Zulu to several versions of Chinese.
The more people can easily inform themselves in their own languages, the more likely those languages and texts are to survive, and the more likely others will write in them and not feel compelled to switch to English. Search is one of the 10 flatteners, and the globalization of the local will be steadily enhanced as search engines gradually spread to every corner of the flat world. In fairness to globalization's critics, it has to be noted that homogenization is not the only or maybe even the most serious threat to global cultures. Critics could argue, notes Ezrahi, that a flat world produces a flat culture, that diversity is not a guarantee of depth and excellence. It might be argued that uploading, unconstrained now by quality control filters, weakens our ability to discriminate between low and high quality culture and encourages the turning of rich cultures into a bazaar of diverse cultural fragments. This line of criticism is vulnerable to the charges of elitism and the tendency to underestimate the quality, creativity, and the significance of low or popular culture, noted Ezrahi, but it is worth keeping an eye on.